'Twas the night before. Now, of course, many of you in fifth grade memorized that poem. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Now, in our United States culture, we have two different versions of Christmas. There is the secular Christmas, and there's the sacred Christmas, and the two just fit seamlessly together. It's very, very difficult to separate them. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. But if we read that in the sacred version, it says this: in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. That was the night before. In our lovely dreams, we would like to think that Mary and the animals in the stable were dreaming dreams of sugar plums as it danced in their heads. You know that's not how birth goes. You know. Mary was about 14 years old. As soon as you were of age, your parents married you off. And what this meant was that you had a 14-year-old who most likely, in many ways, was terrified. She had never been pregnant before. She had not been married before. By all accounts, she could have been stoned to death in her own village for being pregnant outside of wedlock. This was terrifying. Mothers, do you remember your first pregnancy? Do you remember the night before? At our house, when our firstborn girl came, we had to deal with 3 days of Braxton Hicks, strong before she entered the world. We had to deal with false labor. It was a long day, long 2 days, and then she came. It's a long, painful, messy process. It was the night before. It was the night before. And here came a baby. Tiny little boy. Tiny little boy that no one would have had any idea that this was the one who was going to change a world. No one suspected. Because you see, Christ was subversive. Subversive. Listen to that word, subversive. What is subversive? It's when something sneaks in underneath and you don't know that it's going to change things, and then you all of a sudden begin to notice that things have changed and you didn't even see where it came from. Jesus was subversive. When I was a boy, I loved waking up in the middle of the summer and the sunlight would be streaming in my bedroom window, and the window would be up, and the breeze would be moving the curtains, and outside I would hear my favorite bird call. Ooh, 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 ooh. A lot of you know that. You were raised with that sound also. It's the sound of a mourning dove. Dear Spearfish, dear Northern Hills, dear family and friends from all kinds of different places, when is the last time you heard a mourning dove? No, no, not saw one, heard one. Because here in Spearfish, you will see doves all over the place. Matter of fact, as I was walking around town today, they were the only bird that I could see. They are not mourning doves. They look exactly the same, except they're not. The dove that we have in Spearfish, the dove that we have that has spread all across South Dakota and the upper Midwest, is the ringneck dove. There are two differences between the mourning dove and the ringneck dove. The ringneck has a very telltale, very distinct black ring around its neck. And the second thing that makes it different is that it is bigger and stronger than the mourning dove. Now in the morning, if you hear a dove in your backyard, you will hear, "Hoo, hoo, hoo, hoo." Why? Because the ring-neck dove is subversive. Because of climate change, this bird that used to be found only in the southern parts of the United States, as this subtly has warmed, it has become accessible up into the Northland. And so the ringneck has spread, and this dove has been entering our communities one at a time as it flies from community to community. You don't really see it ever in the country. You see it in the communities. And it's taken years, generations, for this dove to spread. And when it comes into a community, it enters into competition with the mourning dove, and it is bigger and stronger, and the mourning doves have been pushed out. No longer will you hear, because its cousin is subversive. Subversive. This, my friends, is what Jesus was. Jesus was subversive. Christmas is subversive. All right, now you ready? I'm going to give you your history lesson. Now, part of this, you're going to say, what? The earliest Christians did not celebrate Christmas. For the first 300 years of our faith, we did not recognize nor celebrate Christmas. There was no date on the calendar. Because what was important was that we recognize and celebrate Easter, this risen Christ. But then things began to happen. Let me tell you about it. In the year 275, in the Roman Empire, which was the greatest, largest, most powerful empire the world had ever seen, in the year 275, the emperor, whose name was Julius, declared the birthday of their greatest God. Their greatest God was known as Sol Invictus, the unconquered sun. The unconquered sun, it was a sun god. And according to the Emperor Julius, it was this sun god that led them to military victory and the might and the unconquerability of the Roman Empire. You want to guess what date he picked? December 25th. This was one of the most powerful Roman holidays of the entire year. It was the solstice celebration. This was the day. The 25th of December was the day when you could, with your naked eye, detect the return of the sun. We had passed the longest night of the year, and now Sol Invictus, the unconquerable sun, was returning into our world. Flash forward with me 50 years. It was in approximately the year 325. Now, this didn't happen just overnight, but it was around 312, 313 that the first Roman emperor, Constantine, became Christian. Up to this point, there were no Christians in leadership and in that government position. Constantine, on his deathbed, became Christian. And in about the year 325, Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire. It began to explode. Flash forward with me 25 years. It was in the year 350 that the emperor Aurelius declared that Jesus Christ had a birthday. Which one did he pick? December 25th. Subversive. Incredibly subversive. Do you see what just happened? The most powerful Roman god was celebrated. His birthday was celebrated on December 25th. And 75 years later, because this Christian faith just crept in and became subversive, running all the way through the empire, through the farthest regions, through the government, up into the highest levels. This subversive Jesus all of a sudden took over the most important day in the entire empire. Now, I don't know if you were aware of this. What we know is that Jesus' actual birthday was not on December 25th. How do we know that? Well, one very, very simple way. And in Luke, we read the words that say, "And shepherds were out abiding their flocks by night." Shepherds do not abide their flocks in the fields in December. There's nothing to eat. It's winter there too. All of the sheep were home in the flock, home in the fold, being cared for down in the towns. It's only in the springtime that the shepherds have that fresh growth and have the sheep up. Why December 25th? Because it was the most powerful and amazing night of the year, the most powerful and amazing day of the year. The solar, it was the winter solstice. This incredibly powerful day, and that is where they chose. It was no accident. It was not random. It was chosen. And there it stayed. And this is the power of what we celebrate, because Jesus was subversive and continued to sneak in under all of the Roman Empire for centuries, millennia yet to come. Here's what I want you to know. This Jesus is still subversive. This Jesus still sneaks into our lives. This Jesus still sneaks into our governments and our businesses. This Jesus still is sneaking into your life. Your life. And what does this mean? It means that we have been given hope. You see, hope does not come into the darkest time of the year to die. Hope is here in the darkest time of the year to be born. This is the time when we celebrate birth. This is the time. And so we celebrate that Christ came and Christ comes. That Jesus comes into your life today, now, in completely subversive ways, sneaking in. And tonight you're going to go home and you're going to open presents. And tomorrow you're going to get up and you're going to open more presents. And tomorrow you're going to you're going to turn on the television and watch football. And tomorrow you're going to eat way too much. And underneath all of that secular celebration is this sneaky Jesus, the subversive Jesus who says, "Remember, remember, remember." Who keeps calling to us and reminding us and pulling us back into joy. There is joy. What I know is that for many of us, this year has been very difficult, and yet there is joy. There is joy. This Jesus who steps up and says, there is hope, and there is joy, and there is grace, and there is love. All of these things we know because Jesus keeps sneaking into our lives. May it be in the days that come, in the weeks that come, in the months to come, that you will know this subversive Jesus. But for right now, 'twas the night before Christmas. Now we wait, because things are about to happen again. Now we wait, and in the darkness Christ comes. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, come. Come into our lives again and again. Give us meaning and hope. Give us joy and love, not so that we can keep it, but so that we can share it.